thank you. You may be seated. If you want to send your kiddos back, they're having a special class for them tonight. Take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to Exodus chapter 8, all right? Exodus chapter 8. And hope you have your Bible and you'll open it up, go along with us. And I'll be honest with you, I have no idea if I can finish the message I've got for tonight, or at least the notes I've got, okay? So if necessary, we'll just stop somewhere and plug it back in next Wednesday night if need be. But we're just trying to, on Wednesday night, I'm sure you figured it out, just trying to preach through and from the life of Moses, experiences he had. I'm just always reminded the New Testament says the things happened unto these people happened to them for examples to us. And so if we fail to learn from the Word of God, from what God gave us, okay, if we fail to learn from the examples that God's given us, that's our fault, okay? It's not God's fault. And if we repeat the mistakes they made, that is also our fault. And but there's no reason for it, all right? No reason for it whatsoever. So have your Bible there, Exodus chapter 8. Look at verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only go, ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Moses and Pharaoh had been going back and forth now, if you will, for a while by the time we get to our text verses here in chapter 8. And up until now, when Moses would come before Pharaoh and he would say, you know, "Let my people go," Pharaoh said, "Not going to do it, all right, not going to do it." And then, you know, the plague would come, and sometimes Pharaoh had said, "Okay, I'll let you do it if you just get rid of the plague." And when the plague was gone, it was almost like, "I was just kidding." And he wouldn't let them do it, wouldn't do that at all. And so Pharaoh had failed to honestly cooperate with the request to allow God's people to go and worship in the wilderness. He said, you know, just wouldn't do it. But I want you to notice here in chapter 8, we see a bit of a change in the tactics that Pharaoh used. The devil and the world today want to make God's people just give up and give in. I mean, that's what the devil wants. He wants you and me to just say, "Okay, I'm done. I'm, you know, maybe I'm tired of fighting, or I'm just tired of putting up with everything. I'm done." And I've heard people say, "I'm tired of fighting." I've heard of people that used to stand strong, and I've heard them say, "Well, I got tired of fighting. I just gave in." That's what the devil wants you to do. That is exactly what he would have you to do. It's what the world wants you to do, all right? But when that doesn't happen, then another tactic can sometimes come into play. It's a very devious thing. Sometimes it seems very innocent. Sometimes maybe it even seems, well, that's reasonable, all right? But I'll tell you, man, the danger is great. And you say, "What are you talking about?" Well, what I'm talking about here is what Pharaoh does. In verse 25, if you will, notice what he says. He said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." And the key word's those "in the land." Because Moses had repeatedly said, "We want to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice." And Pharaoh kept saying, "No, you can't, forget it, no, no, can't. But now he says, "Go sacrifice in the land." You said, "What's going on?" Well, he's offering a compromise. He's offering a compromise. Moses demanded one specific allowance But Pharaoh said, you can't do that, but he said, I'll give you an offer. I'll meet you somewhere between yes and no. I'll meet you somewhere between those two, all right? Somewhere between yes and no. You give a little, and I'll give a little, and everybody can be happy. That's it in a nutshell. Now, can I say this to you? If you're haggling for a deal on a car, great. Great. If you're haggling on a deal on a car and the car dealer says, I want this much, and you say, I'll give you that much. And y'all juggle back and forth, you know. And finally one says, well, how about, this guy said, well, how about here? And you say, well, how about here? And eventually, somewhere in between, you meet, you shake hands, fill out the paper, everybody's happy.
Right.
Everybody's happy. All right? I mean, what are you doing? Well, there's a compromise involved. Now, that's fine if you're buying a car.
Right.
That's fine if you're buying a piece of land. But we're not talking tonight about buying a car or buying a piece of land. We're talking about folks doing the will of God. We're talking about what God said and what God has to say. And folks, I want to tell you, there is no way for compromise to be right. You cannot compromise on the Word of God. You just can't do it. That's what's going on. By the way, I'll talk about it Sunday morning in Sunday school. That's what's going on in our land today. You said, why we see churches changing? Because they're coming to a compromise. They're coming to a compromise. Hey, it's a wrong thing to do. But let me just talk about it tonight, if we could, all right? It's a terrible thing, but I want to talk to you tonight about curtailing compromise, all right? Curtailing it. I had 47 different titles for this message, and I finally came up with, let's just curtailing compromise. But first thing I want you to see is the lure of compromise, because there is an attraction to it. Compromise has an appeal, all right? It has an appeal because it seems to offer a way that we can get our desire quickly.
Yep.
Seems to offer a way. And boy, there's nothing we like better today than right now. I mean, we want something, we want it right now. I mean, if we just get the saying and we get it right now, that'd be great, all right? And compromise seems to offer a way for you to do that, all right? We're not very patient people. We're not patient at all, so it's attractive to us to compromise. Now, never mind what the Bible says. So what does the Bible say? We'll take your Bible to James chapter 1, all right? James chapter 1 over in the New Testament. I was reading and studying for the message, and I got to look at that verse. I thought, man, there's a lot there that we could be there for a while, all right? But notice what the Bible says. It says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Right.
Don't you think Moses' faith was tried?
Oh, yes.
Don't you think his faith was tried there with Pharaoh? I mean, coming back. And it's no, okay, we'll get rid of the plague and I'll do it. Okay, got rid of the plague, forget it.
Yep.
All right, and it's back and forth. Man, it tried his patience, but it says it worketh patience. But look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work.
Right.
Why? So you'll learn to wait.
Amen.
No, that's not what it says. It says that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, the attraction there is to compromise, and it seems to be a shortcut to the goal we want. But when you really begin to look at it and you begin to take it in, you have to realize that with compromise, you have to sacrifice some of what you wanted. You just have to give up some of what you wanted to have. I went down to, I decided a few years back, I guess about three and a half years ago now, I decided, well, I'm going to get rid of my pickup. It's kind of in bad shape, and it's kind of on its last leg. So I went in, and I thought, well, I'll see if I can buy another, you know. The pickup I had there for umpteen years, I bought it new. First vehicle I ever bought new. And so I went to the dealer there and had a deal going, and hopefully, and I got there and I said, you know, I'm interested in buying a new pickup. And he began to run the numbers and everything, what it'd be. And when he told me what the payment would be, I said, well, so much for that. I can't go that kind of money, all right? I don't want to do it either, all right? I don't want to give that kind of money. I don't want to make that kind of payment. And so I guess that's out. He said, well, would you consider a used one? So basically what he's doing, would I take less than what I'd originally thought that I wanted? Hey, it was okay in a vehicle, all right? And so I bought another truck, had a good time with it, all right? But wait a minute. The truth of the matter is when we compromise, we give up part of our desire. We give up part of our desire, all right? Now, the compromiser says, well, hey, it's a lot better to have part of what you want than none of what you want. None of what you want. That's the way things go in Washington, D.C. Well, it used to, all right? And it doesn't work that way today because one party's got the control and they say, this is what we want. You don't like it? Tough. We don't care, all right? And even I was listening today talking about even changing the rules to make it easier for them to do what they want to do. But used to, if you compromised, it was, I'll give up some of what I want. You give up some of what you want. We'll put this bill together, all right? Well, you have to sacrifice part of what you want, okay? Now, so, hey, isn't it better, though, to get part of what you want than having none of what you want? So basically that's what Pharaoh's saying to Moses. Now, look, Moses, you can go sacrifice, but you're going to do it in the land. You're going to do it in the land. Now, wait a minute. Truthfully, when you compromise, you get cheated. Now, you get part now instead of all of it later. Had Moses agreed to that, he would have got part of what he wanted. But he held out and he got it all. Because he would not compromise. Would not. Now, like I said, sometimes in some things, compromise might be a useful thing. But we're talking about character. We're talking about spirituality. I'm talking to you about the things of God tonight. And I'm telling you, there's no room in there. Compromise doesn't work. Because when you compromise, you wind up missing what you really need. You just wind up without what you really need to have. So, but there is, compromise has an appeal, all right? Because it's, well, I can get what at least some of what I want, and I can do it right now, right now. But wait a minute, God said, you be patient. You remember what he said there in James 1? So you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You remember that? He said, sometimes you just got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. Compromise, though, can have an appeal. Well, wait a minute. Compromise is also attractive because it makes you look better to the world. It just makes you look better to the world. I mean, good heavens, who wants to be known as stubborn, dogmatic, unreasonable, maybe even inconsiderate? Other people, how you want to be like that? Well, what's wrong with you fundamentalists? Okay, what's wrong with you? I mean, don't you care what anybody thinks about you? Don't you have any concern at all? You see, if you're willing to compromise, that is the way of the world. The way of the world is the way of compromise. So if you'll learn to give in and compromise and not be so headstrong and not be so dead set on doing everything just the way you say, then you'll look better because compromise is the rule in the world today. So, man, surely you want to look good. You know, everybody, and I use that word guardedly, seems to think you have to do it. I used to preach to teenagers. They would say, well, everybody's doing it. And I said, well, first of all, everybody's not. But, you know, the idea is everybody seems to think, well, you have to compromise. You have to give a little. You have to do that. Hey, I'll tell you, it may be acceptable in some situations, but not when it's a matter of what's scripturally right and wrong. Amen. When it's a matter of what's scripturally right or wrong, we can't get to that point where we say, well, I'll compromise. I'll give a little, you give a little, and I'll meet you. No. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about what is right from the Word of God. There's another problem with compromise. It makes disobedience seem acceptable. You said, what do you mean? I don't know how you grew up, but I know how I grew up. And my dad had a saying, and I've heard other people say it, and he said that partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Okay? It's disobedience. You know, all right, here you go. All right, son, get up. I want you to carry out the trash, and I want you to vacuum the living room. Okay. No problem. I got it. Later on, he comes back in. He said, Wyatt, the trash carried out. I vacuumed the living room. You said, do what? Yeah, I said, well, I vacuumed the living room. And I just want you to know that argument would have carried no weight. It wouldn't have helped my situation. If I would have just said, wait a minute, let me understand something. I did what you said. Now, he would have said, you did part of what I said. And that partial obedience is disobedience. But can I say this to you, all right? Disobedience is Satan's goal for you as a Christian. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to disobey God. And if any way he can get you to do it, he will, all right? If he can get you to compromise, and basically what that means is I'll do part, but not all, then you've disobeyed, all right? You've disobeyed. But you say, well, wait a minute, though. I can, let me talk to you. You see, the compromiser thinks you can negotiate with God. Pharaoh thought he could negotiate with God. Well, you can't. He's not a negotiator, all right? We don't negotiate God's directives. That means that reeks of no submission, not being submissive to God. Because if you're submissive to him, you don't negotiate with him. You don't do that. I've had kids at school want to negotiate. They, you know, well, could I do this? I'll never forget. I'll tell you one of my favorite ones I ever heard. I had a student came, and I'd laid down some things before, and we'd talked to him. Well, he came to school the first day, and his hair was down over his collar. And I said, hey, look, you got to get that cut before you come back to school. And he looked at me, and he was nice. He said, well, how about if I just took a curling iron and curled it up where it stayed off my collar? Would that be okay? And, of course, I said, well, that sounds reasonable. No, I didn't say that. I said, no, you can't do that. I said, you got to cut it, all right? You just got to get it cut. Now, I'll say this to his good, he did. And he was in our school for several years, graduated. I don't remember Evan having very much trouble with that guy. But he was, you know, can I negotiate with you? All right, I just want to do it. Listen, God's word is non-negotiable. Amen. It's just non-negotiable. It isn't up for debate. It isn't up for discussion. It's non-negotiable. That's it. I mean, here he is. God said what he said. He told Moses, you go to Pharaoh, you tell him to let my people go. They're going to go 3 days in the wilderness to worship me there. Go tell him. Now, I want to say this to you. Moses didn't have permission to negotiate for God. The only permission Moses had was to go tell Pharaoh what God said. Can I say this to you? That's what is a preacher of the gospel, a preacher of the word of God. That's what I've got to do. Amen. If I'm going to please my God, I cannot get up here and be the negotiator. So let's meet God halfway. No. It's my job to get up here and preach you the word of God. Amen. Not to negotiate, not to tone it down, not to pull back on it, but to just preach you the word of God. Hey, there is a great lure for compromise. It's acceptable today. It's expected today. But it makes disobedience seem acceptable. It's not a good thing, all right? It's not a big thing. It's not a good thing at all. So I want you to look now with me tonight. And like I say, I don't know how far we're going to get. We'll get as far as we get. If we can, we'll quit when we get done, all right? But I want you to see the particulars. Because I want you to see what Pharaoh did is the same kind of thing that people do today. Same type arguments that are given, all right? The first one he gave there in chapter 8, verse 25, he said, all right, you can go sacrifice to your God in the land. He said, I want you to compromise the location God has for us. Just want you to compromise that location. That offer, once again, stay in the land. Don't go to the place appointed. Don't go to the place prescribed. But let's substitute that which is more convenient. Can I say this to you? We live in a world today of religious convenience. We want it to be convenient. Preacher, if it's convenient, I'll come to church. If it's convenient, I'll serve the Lord. I mean, you know, if it fits in, all right. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, preacher, you just got to understand, I can worship God at home as good as I can at church. Well, no, you can't. No, you can't. If you could, God wouldn't have commanded us to attend the house of God. He wouldn't have said, you know, that you're expected to be there, all right? You need to go. He wouldn't do that. Substitute something else. Now, wait a minute. Let me explain something to you. Look what Moses said. Look what he said in verse 26. He said, how can we go and sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God? If we do that, he said, they'll stone us. All right? Well, not they stone us. He said, that's what's going to happen. You said, well, why? Because those Egyptians looked upon those animals that they were going to sacrifice as sacred. And they looked upon those animals and they said, those animals are sacred animals. And for you to get out and slay them, shed their blood like that, and the Egyptians see that kind of thing, it would have enraged them. They would have wanted to take the life of those Israelites. That was the situation. All right? Now, that was the situation for Moses. Now, but the main reason they couldn't do it is because God said, do it where I tell you. Just do it where I tell you. And today, there's a great temptation to substitute and to compromise, all right, to substitute someplace other than the church of the living God. There are parachurch organizations. Some people find they get enough, and I don't like the word religion, all right, but they get enough religion, some men get enough religion in the Masons. Some women get enough religion in the Eastern Star. So, hey, we don't need all that other stuff. We don't need all that other stuff. So they look at it completely different. Some people say, well, hey, man, I go to these other deals. I go to a Bible study. Wonderful. I'm glad you do. Glad you do. But what church do you go to? Are you faithful in the house of God? We've had political leaders, of course, during the last few months say that the church is not an essential thing. You know, but wait a minute, that's the way a lot of people feel.
Yes, sir.
I've had in times past a member of this church say, if they forbid me and made it against the law to go to church, I would just worship at home. So you'd compromise. You'd compromise. Listen, we need to realize something, all right? We need to realize something. Now, wait a minute. Don't misunderstand what I'm preaching to you tonight. I am not attacking people that during this time have stayed home, concerned for their health, that kind of thing. I understand. I'm not trying to attack those people at all, okay? The truth of the matter is I'm talking about people that in years past have just literally said, we don't need the church, and we can get by with some other organization, some other group, Hey, you can't do it. God calls us to one place. But we decide another place is good enough. Watch out. Watch out. You better be careful, all right? God instituted the church. It's not man's idea. It was the Lord. The Lord set up the church. He began it. Jesus Christ started it when he was here on the earth. And he said to you and me, you're to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You're to go. It's there. So what is our defense? Well, I want to compromise. Man, preacher, I mean, do we have to go three times a week? I mean, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, it says so much the more as you see the day approaching, all right? But we just go on and on. What are we trying to do? Well, we're trying to compromise our way. That was the first thing. The world still wants you to do that. Hey, the world still wants you to do that. They want you to compromise, not go to church, and they tell you, look, it doesn't hurt you to work and miss church. We'll let you go two Sundays a month. Or we'll let you go one Sunday a month. Well, are you willing to compromise to do that? That's the question. All right, are you willing to do that? Notice the second thing. Look at verse 28. Verse 28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. So now I'm going to let you go, all right? I'm going to let you go. I know I tried having you stay in the land. All right, you don't want to do that. Okay, we'll work on this. I'm going to let you go. And then not 3 days' journey. All right, not three. I know that's what you said, but not 3 days' journey. Just don't go very far. Don't go very far. Hey, what's the deal? Well, the idea is let's compromise the principles God has established. God was the one who said 3 days. It wasn't Moses. Moses didn't say, okay, Aaron, what do you think? 5 days? Nah, that's too much. Two, that's not. Let's set on three. You go with three? You go with three. No. They didn't negotiate that between the two of them. God said it. God had laid it down for them, I. You say, well, where's that application for you and me today? I'll tell you where that application is in the world today. The world comes to us and said, look, it's okay. I know you're a Christian. That's all right. And I understand that. And I appreciate people that are religious. Amen. But don't be so extreme. Don't be so extreme, okay? I mean, just ease up a little bit. Ease up a little bit. My dad, I'm not going to say who, but my dad had another preacher tell him, and then he later told me, he said, your dad could have a bigger church if he'd ease up a little bit. If he'd just ease up a little bit. He could have better, if he'd just ease up. That's the way, you know. Ease up what? Well, the music. Let's ease up the music. Let's quit singing them hymns. Let's have those praise and worship songs. You know, well, it's easy to memorize them. There's only about 11 words, all right, or maybe 15 on a big one. And the only problem is I never would know when we were through. I've been in a service one time, and that's what they were singing, and they had the words up there, and the only way I knew is, I guess, when they turned the words off. But I never did know. How did they know we were done? Because we sang through those same words I don't know how many times. Now, people have said, mockingly, called them 7-11 songs, you know, seven words and repeated 11 times, all right? Well, but I don't know how many times they repeated it. But I've literally sat in a service where a song had less than 20 words in the whole thing, and we sang it for 15 minutes. I timed it on my watch. You said, preacher, you did that? Yeah. I'd heard about it, and I thought, well, I'm going to go see for myself. Do they really do that? Yeah, man, I timed it. They started singing it, you know, and I try, and 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden, it's somehow or another, everybody knew, that's it. Let's shift to another and sing it for 15 minutes.
Amen. Come on.
Hey, look, if we just get that kind of thing, do it, loosen up, get something that's got a little better beat to it, you know?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Something that moves the physical side.
Come on, yes, sir.
Hey, say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that's what the world, that's what they were saying to Moses. Moses, we're going to let you go, but let's not be too extreme. Let's not be so extreme. Back up a little bit. Back up a little bit. Look, the problem is the church has followed the world so much that the church, for the big part, now stands where the world used to stand.
Amen. Yep.
It's amazing. Why? Well, we've compromised. Mm-hmm. We've compromised. And when you keep that compromising up, all right, the devil never wants you to go very far in spiritual matters. The devil always wants you to, look, take it easy, all right? You don't have to be a fanatic. I can remember guys I know that get called to preach. And for years, they had just played at being a Christian. And you know what? It never bothered their family a bit. Who also played at being a Christian. But when that individual got called to preach, or really before they got called to preach, they got right with God. And they began to really serve the Lord, began to be really faithful in church. And people begin, you know, family members then begin to worry about them. Man, you're going off the deep end there, buddy. Now back off. You don't have to be such a fanatic. You can calm down about this thing. You don't have to go overboard with it. And then when he surrendered to preach, oh my soul. That was really the capper, you know. Can't believe it. What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't you know? Kind of like I remember being in high school, senior in high school, and I did well. I made good grades, and I remember sitting in the counselor's office. Have no idea why I was there, but don't remember that. But they asked me what I was thinking about doing, what I planned to do, and I said, "Well, I'm thinking about going to North Texas State and get me and going through their teacher training and get me a teacher's certificate." This is the words. Right out of their mouth. Now, we're talking about an educator in a high school, somebody who had taught. And they said this, "You're too smart for that." Now, what they were saying is you can make a lot more money. You can make a lot more money. You see, but people didn't understand. And, that's what I believe God wanted me to do. And it had nothing to do with making money. Now, that wasn't the purpose. That wasn't the goal. You know, and at that time, I hadn't really fully surrendered to preach, but I was on the cusp of it. But anyway, you know, here you are, you're looking at that deal, and they're saying, "Well, you're too smart." That's what the world tells us. Look, don't get so fanatical. Don't tie your whole life up in church and serving God. Ease off, man, and if you'll just ease off, things can work better. Hey, that's the devil saying, don't you go too far in spiritual matters. Now, that results in some things, and we're going to get to those things, all right? But that's what the deal is. The deal was, hey, don't get carried away. Don't get carried away. Don't get carried away. Can I ask you this, all right? Have you compromised yourself in that respect? Now, I realize I'm looking at the Wednesday night crowd. This is a better question maybe to ask Sunday morning crowd. Hey, what keeps you from showing back up here on Sunday night and Wednesday night? I'm just really, really busy. Yeah, I've got the TV guide memorized. And what is it that does that? Look, we don't realize it, but what we do is we compromise with the devil. And we agree. Look, basically come down, you know, if you'll kind of leave me alone, I'll back off a little bit. And we just agree that I'm not going to take it as far. I'm not going to be so extreme. That's what the world calls it. You're extreme. Now, I want to ask you a question. compared to Paul's Christianity, are you extreme? You know, we hold up some of these folks in the Bible compared to the faith of Daniel. Is your faith extreme? Is yours extreme? Compared to the faith of people we like to read about and talk about, is your faith extreme? Or is your Christianity extreme? Or have you really kind of, we sort of get comfortable. We get comfortable at a certain level in our Christianity. But I remind you what Paul said. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul spent his life pressing for the mark. Pressing for the mark. He spent his life, he said, for me to live as Christ. That's what he spent his life. He said, well, wait a minute, preacher. God did not call me to be a missionary. He hasn't called me to go around the world. Well, let me just shake you up a little bit. This morning, we had Brother Tarwater and his wife, folks that were with us in our mission conference. They're back in there, and they came down, and they spoke at chapel in the school. And he said to them, he talked to those kids at school. He said, how many of you are missionary? And there's a few raised their hand, and he said, so the rest of you aren't saved.
That's right, come on.
Wait a minute, that's true. Because if you and I are saved, we're to be a missionary.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean we're called to Brazil. Or Germany, or the Congo, or Korea. But we are called across the street. We are called down the block. We're called to be missionaries. You say, why don't we do it? Because we don't want to be extreme. We get comfortable in the world. We get settled down. We don't want people to look at us, and we don't want people to, talk about us. We don't want people to say, man, you know, they're just a fanatic. And so we back off. We compromise. The devil's after you, okay? Now, I'm about halfway through the message. So I'm going to stop right here, and we'll take up next Wednesday, all right? But I want to ask you a question. Are you compromising? Are you compromising with the world? Now, sometimes it's easy for us to convince ourselves, no, not me. But wait a minute, be honest. If you compromise yourself with the world, would you bow your head tonight and close your eyes, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I just ask you now, hey, the devil, I guarantee you, he wants you to compromise with the world. He wants you to back off of your spirituality. He doesn't want you to be extreme. He doesn't want you to be all out for God. But we're not talking about what he wants. We're talking about there's a God in heaven that gave his son to die for you and me. Now, are we doing what we should for him? Are we serious about our Christianity? Or have we kind of met the world halfway some places? Need to think about it. Need to consider. There may be some things you need to tighten up. Maybe some things you need to change. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you just deal with us. Lord, here in the quiet of the evening, Wednesday evening at church, Lord, help us to just look honestly at ourselves. Our life, Lord, does it fit in more with the Scripture? Are we a little more comfortable in the world than we are in the Word of God? Lord, would you help us to be honest? Help us to look at ourselves and say, how about it? You know, I can claim anything I want, but what about it? Is my Christianity what it ought to be, or has it been compromised? Help us now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have you tonight. Now, I don't want you to just forget what's been said, okay? Think about it. All right, you're dismissed.